Today is the second Sunday after Easter, known as Good Shepherd Sunday. Today we will have the reception and banquet in honor of Father Ward's 45th ordination anniversary, and that will begin at 1 o'clock at the Antlers Hotel downtown. There will not be blessing of articles after Mass today. The priests, the brothers, and sisters gave Father a new solemn set of vestments for his 45th anniversary, honoring the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary. He was also given vestments by some of the laity honoring the Sacred Heart of Jesus and Saint Anthony. They will be brought to the sanctuary immediately after this Mass for you to see. So we, of course, saw them yesterday, and they're magnificent. So we're going to put them out. The priests are going to put them out right after Mass so you can come up and look at them. We will not have benediction this evening. Holy cards honoring Father's 45th anniversary are available in the vestibule after Mass today. There will be a table at the banquet today for those who would like to bring photos or mementos of Father Ward or our community to share with everyone at the event. These would be on display only for the banquet so that you can take them back afterwards. And people have done this through emails and things, sent pictures. It's a long time. You see these pictures, and some of the people here were little tiny people in the pictures. Trying to figure out who is that person right there. Monday, the Mass is at 8:30, followed by the cleaning of the chapel and the hall. Saturday, the Mass is at 8:30, and catechism classes will be held after the 8:30 Mass. And next Sunday, April 22nd, the Mass will be at its normal time of 8 in the morning. So, okay, 1 o'clock at the Antlers, so we'll see pretty much everyone there. There will be no blessing of articles. After Mass, you can stay and see these vestments. Magnificent, beautiful, devotional. There's no benediction this evening. There are holy cards available in the vestibule, and there'll be a table for people if you want to bring things, just remembrances, and you can, of course, take them back afterwards. Tomorrow is the cleaning of the chapel and catechism classes on Saturday. The feast this week, Monday, April 16th, is the feast of St. Benedict Joseph Labre. Tuesday is the feast of St. Anicetus the First, who is one of the popes. And interesting just about him, early church, second century, the debate about the date for Easter, and that's, you know, this Easter season, was coming up even then. Can't go into it, except just to say this. The eastern half of the empire was greatly influenced by St. John the Apostle, and said they were following a tradition from him as to the date of Easter. The western part following the tradition of St. Peter. And there was a discrepancy, and this went on for a while. And it finally was settled. And the interesting point to make here is that the tradition of St. Peter was the one that predominated, and the East fell in, even though you're following the practice of St. John or something flowing from that, they followed St. Peter, one of the earliest examples of the authority of the Pope as the successor of Peter being even over another apostle's practice. Interesting. By the way, I'm saying practice. I don't mean that St. John the Apostle actually kept Easter that way. I'm just saying the people after him did. I don't know exactly what St. John did on that. And then Saturday is the feast of St. Anselm. And this is a great saint. We can't go into any of that. I do want to mention somebody who's not a saint. It's a blessed Mary of the Incarnation, April 18th. And just because her story is so interesting, so So many of these saint stories like that. Do you know what? Your story is interesting. When we're saints in heaven, each one has his own story. That's the beauty of it. Because we come from all different walks of life and everything. And all the people in heaven, they each have a great story. There's no one exact, we all are imitations of our Lord, but that's the beauty of it. So we'll have, not only spending time in eternity with our Lord, but meeting all these saints. And here's one of them, interesting story. She was the only surviving child in her family, and so she wanted to, but it sounds like it was an interior thing. She wanted to become a nun. But her parents, as being the only child, they wanted to see her married, and they wanted to see grandchildren or whatever. And so she, I don't know if she expressed what she was feeling inside, but she just went along, and she got married. She had 6 children. The husband was very, they were French, and he was a good Catholic and everything, but I think he made some mistakes on the practical order. She kind of helped bail him out a few times. But she was instrumental. He had a position of influence in the country, going into too much detail there. It was all historically very interesting. But she had visions from St. Teresa of Avila. The saint had died somewhat recently, maybe within the last so many years, decades. And the saint said to this woman in these visions that instructing her how to help the new Reformed discalced Carmelites. And this woman was instrumental in bringing them over to France. And eventually, when her husband died, three of her daughters became Carmelite sisters. And when her husband died, she went and became a lay sister in one of these convents that she had helped found. And she only had 4 years after her husband died. But anyway, just to see how so many interesting things happen in people's lives. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Peter's first epistle. Beloved, Christ has suffered for us, leaving you an example that you may follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile, when he suffered, did not threaten, but yielded himself to him who judged him unjustly, who himself bore our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live to justice, and by his stripes you were healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. Please stand for the gospel. The holy gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. John chapter 10, verses 11 to 16. At that time, Jesus said to the Pharisees, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. But the hireling, who is not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches and scatters the sheep. But the hireling flees because he is a hireling and has no concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. And other sheep I have that are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. We are still, of course, in this, I've barely begun, the season of the Paschal time. And so Holy Mother of the Church is going to great lengths to keep reminding us of that. Of course, we have the constant reminder in the Paschal candle. But the text of the Mass, we have to, well, it's with the help of the saints and the liturgists to help us penetrate the infinite mind of God, the eternal mind, expressed through the Holy Ghost, the sanctifier, in Holy Mother Church in the liturgy, that whole progression there. Tapping in. So right at the introit, we see we are celebrating the mercies of the Lord that fill the earth, that he has sanctified and renewed. And we're thinking of the Easter Vigil, the beginning of those readings, how it tells us in the beginning, God created everything by the one word, the fiat, let it be done, let there be light. And there was light, and God saw that it was good. And so you see all of this coming out of the introit, because it says, after the mercy of God fill the world, it recalls the creation, because it says, by his word, all things were made, by his fiat. He made everything by that, and then he had to send his word to sanctify it. And that was a gargantuan work. So we know just by his fiat, by his just saying, let there be light, it happened. But to make, that was to make the natural order, but to make the supernatural order, to restore it, he did give it to them and they threw it away, Adam and Eve. But to make everyone appreciate it, when his word spoke again, he spoke in a human nature. And it wasn't just a simple expression of his desire. He came and suffered and died. This is just the beginning of this Mass with the introit. Is that not amazing? And then it tells us, as we now are moving in, it says in the collect, by his humiliation we are saved. Sounds like the epistle. By his stripes we are healed. And our Lord in the Gospel telling us, the Good Shepherd lays down his life. And it reminds us in the Alleluia, it tells us in the Alleluia there, we're again on the road to Emmaus on Easter Sunday, because that's what that line is from. It says, and they knew him in the breaking of the bread. Recalling that whole story, how our Lord, you hear those people saying, it's recorded, they say, you know the story, our Lord joined them on the road on Easter Sunday, and after he left, because they saw him, the way he sat down to eat with them, he broke the bread. They had seen it before in the miracle of the loaves and fishes. They had seen him doing it at the Last Supper, how he broke the bread. And they knew when he did that, the stranger, it is the Lord. And as soon as they recognized him, then he disappeared. You remember that story on Easter Sunday? Well, here it is again, reminding us, taking us back. Well, you remember after that happened, these men said, did our hearts not burn within us as he spoke to us about the prophets and the laws and the commandments? They said that. That's what we feel during these days, right? And here is the reminder that we know him in the breaking of the bread. It does not exist outside the Catholic Church. The breaking of the bread, the Mass. And we remember the significance of that, as we mentioned at the Easter Vigil. What is happening in the Mass there? The Mass is the unbloody sacrifice of the cross, separation mystically, sacramentally, of his body and blood. That's what would normally kill someone. Mystically, it happens by a separation of his precious blood from his body under the appearances of bread and wine. So that at the Mass, when those are reunited after the breaking of bread, the fraction, the priest then takes that particle of the host and puts it into the chalice. The appearances of bread and wine are reunited. The body and blood are reunited. What do we have? We have resurrection. So this is all coming back to us in the Alleluia. And then in the offertory, we're going through a little bit just to show you how it's subtle, but you see how the church keeps reminding us. And then in the offertory, it says how these are the words of our Lord in the Psalms, how he waits for break of day to rise up and lift up his hands in praise of your holy name. And that's what our Lord did when he rose from the dead. And we restore the prayer that we have not been saying throughout Septuagesima, and we say, Alleluia. Praise to you, Yahweh, the name of God. It's all there. But we have, and I just flipped through it, the church again takes the two apostles, St. John, of course, who was at the cross, the only one for that, but he takes those two who ran to the tomb. And these are the ones that the church keeps before us these first weeks. I see that, when I read the gospel, I saw next week it's St. Peter and St. John again. They are the ones here these first 3 weeks that keep telling us about these things. The epistle last week was not from St. Peter, but the opening words of the introit were from St. Peter. And they're all taken from the same chapter in this first epistle of St. Peter. These two are the witnesses. And they're telling us, of course, today is Good Shepherd Sunday. So St. Peter, that first successor of our Lord as the Pope. Well, he is the first Pope. Our Lord is not the Pope. But he is his first successor. He is the Good Shepherd. And St. Peter is put in the forefront to tell us these things. And to tell us, because this is the way that we have to get to heaven. Our Lord is telling us in the Gospel, and St. Peter is telling us here. We don't want to take time. We have it. Just before this in St. Peter's epistle, this whole epistle is telling, this chapter is, he's telling all the people, we have to be holy. We are a holy people, a royal nation. You remember those words? And he starts to tell them how to be holy. And in this section right here, just before this, he's telling how servants, how you should be holy. How you should do all the things that you are commanded to do because of your knowledge of the Lord. In other words, have the right intention. That's the morning offering every day. Have the right intention. So everything you do is because of our Lord, and it is sanctifying. He's teaching them. Just as we learn today when we hear sermons, he is teaching the people. And in the end, ultimately, by that practice of doing what we're supposed to do, in the end, it's going to lead, we all have to die. We're not all going to be martyrs, but we all have to die. And so that moment is the ultimate time. We've been practicing every day with our morning offering. We're practicing every day. And so then at the end, we, for the knowledge of God, we give up our life. We lay down our lives for the sheep, for ourselves and others. This is what our Lord is teaching us. Through his humiliation, the world is saved. Through our submitting to our, then we are saved. So we see all of this. But of course, the overriding theme in this Mass is that of our Lord as the Good Shepherd. And it is so consoling, it is so beautiful that we've heard in the past, and it was a beautiful thing. Father, if you remember, he would read. We don't have the first 10 verses. We do not have the 10 verses that preceded today's reading. If you remember, he would read the whole beginning of that chapter, if you remember, because it tells us the context. What had just happened is he had taken this blind man, and in front of all the people, he had healed this man. So he could see. And it was a major It was a major event in our Lord's life because this man was brought before, it happened on a Saturday, their Sabbath, okay, causing a big stir. How could this happen? You're not supposed to do anything on the Sabbath. You can't even heal somebody, even if you're God. And it was indisputable. So the Pharisees all tried to undo the miracle. They brought in his parents and said, is this really your son? Yes, that's our son. And he can see. And well, right, he was born blind. As to why he can see, you'll have to ask him yourself. They didn't want to answer any questions like that because it was already known, you're in trouble. But the man himself, he just answered simply, yes, he told me to do this, and I did it, and I can see. And it was recorded three times. They were asking me the same thing. And so the third time, he's almost like exasperated. He said, right, it's never been known that a sinner could do something like this because it's the power of God to do it. And why would God cure somebody if the sinner was asking for me to be cured? Well, they didn't like that. And they said, you born in sin like this, because that was a sign of sin that you had illness, you born in sin are telling us how to think, and they banished him. They excommunicated him. And then our Lord, after all this drama, seeks this man out. It's all happening the same day. And he finds the man, because now he's been thrown out. Is that like the Good Shepherd, seeking those who are lost? And so he seeks him out, and he says, do you believe in the Son, the Anointed One? And he said, who is it, Lord, that I may believe? And our Lord said, I am. And it says, the man fell down and said, I believe. And you remember, during Lent, we kneel at that point in the gospel with the man. Now, everybody watched this. There were people watching this, okay? And then the Pharisees say, Lord, do we see? And he said, if you ask that question and you do not believe, I'm paraphrasing, then you do not see. They tried to join in, and our Lord said, you can if you believe. That's everything that just happened. Then our Lord the beginning of this chapter says, then he spoke to the Pharisees. So the first 10 verses are all about the Good Shepherd, but different aspects of him. He's taking different metaphors to explain this to these Pharisees because they are the shepherds. And he's trying to tell them something. And unlike other times, the scripture scholars point this out, unlike other times, this speaking from his heart was so sincere, so moving, that no one interrupted him. They would always heckle him throughout his talks. I don't know if you've noticed that. They would heckle him. He'd be saying something, and then they'd heckle him, and they'd try and throw him off and everything. But when he was speaking here, they tell us, they let him say everything because it was so new to them, really. And he speaks all this. They don't interrupt him at all. And then we come to this section where he tells them, I am the Good Shepherd. He says, I lay down my life for my sheep. Does that make any sense? I mean, have you ever met some shepherd that his flock is being attacked or something and he's going to step in front of the attacker? I mean, just take the bullet, so to speak? It doesn't make sense for a human being to sacrifice his life for these dumb animals, and they are dumb. Sheep are dumb if you've been around them. And they have such thick skulls. I mean, my experience is extremely limited, but I just happened to be, they were shearing these sheep, and I was, I'm supposed to guide them, whatever. And I'm just swinging my hand, one of them ran into my hand, and the skull is so, it hurt my hand. He's like, no. So, yeah, they're dumb. But he's telling them, That's what he would do. That's what he did do. Because you know what? The distance between that shepherd and his animals is nothing compared to the distance between God and his creatures. So he's giving a weak comparison. It's a weak comparison to what he did and what he's about to do. I am going to put down my life for a bunch of dumb creatures. They're going to be the ones that do it to me. But he says, you have to follow my example. Now, this whole thing is a great lesson for all of us and everything. But you know how consoling it is. So we have to, the takeaway, because you know it, we keep saying it. The Mass is our mental prayer. Oh, if you were practicing reading the Mass text each day for Lent, don't give that up. Think and pray with the mind of the church, the Masses of the season and the Masses of the day of the saints. Read those over. Make that your mental prayer. It's all geared for that. You know it. We keep telling you. Good thing to remind us. We first come into the presence of God when we're doing mental prayer, and we say, we're sorry, God. We need your help to pray. Those are the foot prayers. We go up, and we start to hear God telling us what he wants us to know. And that's the meditation. We hear it in the epistle and the gospel. Then we come together and say, I believe these things. We make the act of faith. There's the credo. And then we move towards that moment where we don't just lift up our minds. That's not prayer, remember? Prayer is the lifting of our minds and hearts. All we've done so far is lifted up our hearts. Then we have to come to lifting up our minds. We have to come to lifting up our heart. And we do that in Holy Communion. Now we join hearts with God. That's every Mass. You can be doing that every, well, you're supposed to be praying mental prayer every day. Use the Mass text. You see what's happening? So here we are. We have just done the elevation of the mind with the meditation. Now we have, what's the takeaway, as I said? I'm saying, what is that lifting of the heart? That lifting of the heart is we have a good shepherd. We have our Lord. And we see him, of course, in those shepherds that are following what he wants, not the mercenaries, as he describes them, make a comparison. So we know that. And we're not going to go off on that aspect. You can just, I'm sure, make your own. In fact, we heard the words yesterday talking about the good shepherd, which is true. So we're not going to go off on that. You know, that's something else to celebrate later. But we want to just keep, because what does it take? The thing we want to go away with is, especially in the communion for this Mass, is our Lord's heart reaching out for all of us. And all we have to do is respond. Let's not be dumb animals. Just respond. We have all the texts. We can, if and we're not going to take the time here to read it. Psalm 22, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. How many people say that prayer? It is used to be memorized in the public schools by people just because it's so beautiful. And so that's the thing. We will take this time. So we have all these different sections here of the Bible, because this whole concept of God as the good shepherd of his people goes way back. And we're the famous one, which we've read before, so we're not going to read the whole thing here, but this is from the prophet Ezekiel. And it is called the parable in chapter 34, the parable of the shepherds. Did those Pharisees that were standing around, by the way, as I said, the authors tell us that they did not interrupt him. But after he was finished, and it goes on a couple of verses after this gospel text, after he was finished, then they did some commentary, the Pharisees, and there was a dispute among them. Because some people were saying, why do you listen to him? This is crazy. Somebody's going to die for a bunch of dumb animals? That's crazy. Why do you even listen to him? And the other people said, has anyone crazy spoken such beautiful words? There's a distinction right away between the goats and the sheep, if you want. But were they thinking too of these Ezekiel? Did they even remember that? But here it is. And he said, thus the word of the Lord came to me, to Ezekiel. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. And then he proceeds to say, and it's long, it's at least 10 verses, how you, woe to you shepherds who have stolen the wool of the sheep, who have taken the food of them, who have not taken care of them, who have let them become weak. And it goes through this whole list of things and saying, I will come against you. As I live, says the Lord God, because my sheep have been given over to pillage, and because my sheep have become food for every wild beast for lack of a shepherd, because my shepherds did not look after my sheep, but pastured themselves and not my pasture my sheep, because of this, thus says the Lord God, I swear I am coming against these shepherds. Well, by the way, better pray for those shepherds. We have to defend the flock and everything, but I have to tell you, after that initial defense, which is, as we learned about passion recently, backed up by some passion, the next reaction is, oh my, these people are in trouble. So you pray, because, you know, we want everyone to get to heaven. How are they going to explain doing all this to the sheep? But then, see, and this is what we want to feel. And we do say feel. Here's another passion. We want to feel this. We understand it, but we want to feel it. Because then it says, thus says the Lord God, I myself will look after and tend my sheep. As a shepherd tends his flock when he finds himself among his scattered sheep, so will I tend my sheep. I will rescue them from every place where they were scattered when it was cloudy and dark. I will lead them out from among the peoples and gather them from the foreign lands. And I will bring them back to their own country and pasture them upon the mountains of Israel. In good pastures will I pasture them, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing ground. There they shall lie down on good grazing ground, and in rich pastures shall they be pastured. I myself will pasture my sheep. I myself will give them rest, says the Lord God. The lost I will seek out. The strayed I will bring back. The injured I will bind up. The sick I will heal. That's our good shepherd. So at this Mass, with all the other things that we have to thank God for, thank him for being our good shepherd. And at communion time, unite hearts and ask him to pasture us. May God bless you.